I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, Mimi. Oh. Hey, Gigi. When you're driving around, just seeing the town, sitting bored at home, feeling all alone, fill up a glass, pick out a glass. We got the tea, we got the sauce. Get queerified.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's get queerified.
Hey, Mimi.
Hi, Gigi.
Are you ready to get queerified?
Yes.
So on Queerified, you'll hear from special guests in the LGBTQIA+ community and, of course, some allies, too.
And we share everything, like what it was like growing up queer, the successes and lessons of life, and how to celebrate queer joy every day.
Today, I'm so excited to have a friend of mine on the show. She's actress Emily Hampshire. You might know her as the angsty, quirky, and hilarious hotel clerk from the Rosebud Motel in Schitt's Creek. Stevie is one of my favorite characters from the show, and I can't wait to dive in way deeper today. And before we start this pod, please don't forget to call into the Queerified hotline at 1-844-QUEERIES. That's QUEERYS.
Call and ask us anything. Maybe we'll play yours on the podcast.
Without further ado, please welcome to the show my pansexual sis, Emily Hampshire.
And we are back on Queerified on this very special day with the Emily Hampshire.
Hey, hey, oh my God, thank you for coming. Also, happy belated birthday, Emily.
Thank you.
You look so cute in your bow. That's like one of my favorite things that Emily does. There's always a bow. There's always a sweet little touch. You look so pretty.
There is always a bow. Thank you. So do you. I haven't seen you in so long. I mean, I see you on Instagram all the time, so I feel like it's not that long, but I was going to say in real life, but like this is real life now.
This is our real life. Yeah. Oh my God. And I saw you, I feel like one of the last times we like fully talked and had a moment was on your podcast / talk show, Hump Day with Hampshire.
Yeah. Yeah. That was at the, that was first.
Pre-pandemic.
Well, it was just, I can't believe I'm going to be nostalgic for the first wave of quarantine. It was right when the quarantine started and I was asked to do this kind of charity talk show that I thought it was for the Actors Fund, which when I was approached with it, I'm like, I think we can do better than helping just actors, but it actually helps everyone in the entertainment industry from like ushers to singers to crew. So, and I thought it would be a week, maybe 2 weeks. It ended up being like two seasons of Fleabag's worth of episodes.
Wait, what do you mean Fleabag?
It's a TV show.
Fleabag had 6 episodes a show. So it's like 12, we did 10 episodes.
For the Actors Fund, how much money did you raise, can I ask?
I don't actually know. I should know that.
Probably a good amount. You killed it. I had fun. Well, thank you for coming on our podcast.
Thanks for having me. I'm in the closet. Literally.
Does that feel nostalgic?
It feels so much better now in this closet. Yeah, I'm this way.
You know, a lot of people have, you know, going through this pandemic, a lot of people have been doing a lot of things, actually. I think we all thought we would be staying home, doing nothing. You've also done a lot of things since the pandemic started.
Yeah.
You know, because we Googled everything, like we looked at IMDb. Are you producing a show?
I am. I actually, Gigi's known about this for a long time. And even before Gigi, it's been my dream for almost a decade now to do this remake of an old show from the 70s called Mary Hartman, Mary Hartman.
Wait. Mary Hartman, Mary Hartman. Is that the first TV show to have a gay couple?
Yes, it is.
In the 70s, they had a gay couple. I just remember that right now.
And it was a gay couple. Like, they didn't make a thing of it being weird, and yes. Mary was friends with them. And there's so many. I mean, Norman Lear, the guy who produced that, who is producing my show, our show, he's 100 years old. No, he's 99. He's going to be
100. Oh, my God.
Oh, I thought you were kidding. Oh, my God. For real.
I'm not kidding. He's going to celebrate his 100th birthday on the set of Mary Hartman 2. And all his shows are very progressive and breaking boundaries. Like, that's what I loved about Mary Hartman. When I watched it, this show in the 70s, I was like, this is...
It blew me away.
So ahead of its time.
It kind of sounds like Mary Hartman. I kind of see it on a marquee as like a musical. Has it been like portrayed as a musical yet?
But you bet that if I have my druthers, I don't even know where that came from. I don't even know what druthers is.
We got the gist.
Okay.
If Druthers pastilles?
Yeah, I will 100% do a musical version of like episode. Every show that I go on, the first thing I ask is, can we do a musical episode?
Wow. Okay. You and Mark are best friends immediately.
Because I love musicals. We're going to be in New York in like a week. I'm so excited to go finally see a musical. But if you haven't seen Mary Hartman, everybody go on YouTube. There are literally scenes from men in the 70s talking about coming out. They're like, why should we hide? Like, everybody should know who we are. And it was really fucking crazy watching that.
I can't believe you know
it's
that.
Insane.
That's so great.
Yeah, I do. I didn't realize that because we were talking about Mary Hartman. I didn't know it was that show until right now. That's crazy.
Well, Emily, when we had talked about it before, you were always very adamant about telling a story, a trans story, an interracial story, a gay story, a pansexual story, whatever it may be, but not really touching on it, not making it a thing. Like, that's what we always had talked about. And to see it come to fruition now, it got picked up by TBS, I heard, through the great Fine. Can you talk a little bit about how much that means to you to work with TBS on such a groundbreaking project?
It's just every stage of this has been kind of like a birthday present. Like, the first stage of it was just even, you know, I'd never even pitched a show before. And I went in to pitch Norman Lear, who is a legend of a producer. And so just for them to want to do it, I was like, oh my God, my dream has come true. I can die now. And then the next step was like, oh, we have to sell it to Sony. And then that happened. And so when TBS happened, it's funny because you know this, that like, as on the other side of it, you know news before it comes out. Right.
Yes. So
I knew about this for, I mean, gosh, almost 7 months.
What?
So when it came out and everyone's like, congratulations, it's so amazing. They just hadn't finished negotiating. They finished negotiating on Norman's, like they did the deal on Norman's 99th birthday, which was the best thing that happened.
Oh my God. He must be thrilled as well. That is so great. Congrats. Also, your new show based on the Stephen King novel is, I heard, really spooky. And I really wanted to ask you a question. So I know you filmed in Nova Scotia. We had talked.
Nova Scotia, Canada.
Yeah. Hey, Nova Scotia. Hey, East Coast. I know how spooky that can be already, but to film during a pandemic, how was that?
Well, you know, too, because I was leaving to go to Halifax before everything happened, and then they had to stop production. And so we were all quarantined. I had given my measurements for it's set in the 1850s. I wear a corset. I'd given my measurements. And then the show, I didn't know when it would come back again. So I got an industrial sized bucket of Nutella.
Obviously. Oh my God, you totally pandemic. Love so much junk food too. Emily eats like literally on the exact same level as I do.
Yeah. I bought that as a joke. I thought it was funny. Ultimately didn't know the quarantine was going to go on for so long. I got to the bottom of that bucket of Nutella.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with a spoon. And then found out we were going. And it was one of the first productions, I think, that went during COVID. And I think it's because it was Canada and Halifax. But it was a learning experience. I mean, if I'm being very honest, Gigi,
please,
since you know
obviously.
Me, there's a lot about, like, obviously, COVID is terrible. All the illness, we don't want that. But I'm a silver linings person. And there's a lot about quarantining and masks and all kinds of stuff that and the way we shot things that I quite liked. For example, when you're on set, it used to be that you'd have these like candy buckets of things on tables. Everyone would put their hands in it. And like they pass around food all the time, all day long. That went away. And I was happy about that. And also, like, I like to eat. I like to be alone a lot. Gigi knows this.
Yes, I like you do.
I like to be alone a lot. And so I loved that I went to Halifax and I had to quarantine for 2 weeks by myself.
Right, right.
They brought me food. I didn't. And everyone was like, "Are you okay? I'm so sorry you have to do this." And I'm like, "Oh, it's hard."
You're like, "I'm going to get through it. I hope I can do four weeks."
Yeah.
What was your favorite part of Halifax?
Well, I did my first ever series in Halifax when I was a kid.
So it was a return to Halifax.
Yeah. So it was a return. It was when I was like 17, 18 when I was there. So going back, what was so crazy was all these crew members, like our cameraman said to me, he's like, "You were my first ever scene." And oh, I remember the scene, and he was telling me, and then someone else would be like, "My first prosthetic was the," and then I'm like, "I'm so old."
Oh my God. No, that's everything. That's like nostalgic. That's so for you.
Yeah. It was fun.
Did you guys all get Halifax matching tattoos?
We didn't. I think we all regret it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Naturally.
You've actually filmed a lot in Canada. I just realized Schitt's Creek was also filmed in Canada.
No, I mean, I was born there. But working there, I grew up in Toronto. Well, I was born in Montreal. I moved to Toronto for a while.
Same story as Gigi.
Yes.
Yeah. And Tiffany. And
she's my long lost sister.
Yeah. Actually, she asked me, she was like, "I want to know how you're going to get along with you." And because we haven't met before. And she's like, "I think you guys are going to like be besties." So,
oh my God. So for anyone that doesn't know who Tiffany is, earth to the listener, it's my sister, my sister Tiffany. And that actually goes into my next question. I really don't know if people kind of know that we know each other. It's a kind of weird, we don't have many photos together. We haven't done many things together publicly, but we literally spent like New Year's together one time. You know, you kind of were like seeing my sister. So I just want to hear.
I asked you if it was okay. Because I, at the time when we were seeing each other, she was not out.
Right.
I mean, Emily,
what were you going to say?
Well, I remember we were at the GLAAD Awards and I didn't know you guys. I was there presenting Dan with an award, and I saw this like super hot girl going into the bathroom, and like you guys were doing your hair, and I wanted to talk to her, but I didn't know how to do that. So I was like, oh, where'd you get that clip in your hair?
That's what she told me.
Clip, and then I think I asked for her Instagram or something, and she's like, "Tiffany, look it up."
She did. Oh my God, you're so right. She did say that. So yeah. The GLAAD Awards is like, it's everyone's safe space. So I feel like you being shy is so cute, Emily, to like come up to someone, because everyone's living their life at this kind of gala.
Yeah, I'd never been to it before. It was my first time.
Oh.
Cute.
It was also my first time approaching somebody. Like I don't think I've ever, I don't even slide into people's DMs, but I was like, this is my only chance. Cause I didn't know who she was, where she, anything. And she was wearing this blue jumpsuit.
I know the one. Wait, so yeah, what was your favorite thing about Tiffany when you first started hanging out with her?
That she's real. She's just like, you know, the group of people she hangs out with, that you guys all hang out with, are
super fake.
No,
super superficial.
What's really interesting is you're all such kind of stars in your own right in all different ways. And what I love about Tiffany is that she doesn't, and it's not a fake thing, it's that she's just so comfortable being her and in this world that has a lot of shine everywhere. And she just, to me, cuts through that and is like, oh.
we all know Tiffany, and I feel like we all have that very same exact sentiment with her. No matter what situation she's in, no matter where she is, what she's doing, she's always authentic Tiffany.
Yes.
And that's what the world needs more of, like souls like that, because everyone is so worried. We talk about this a lot on the podcast, actually, Emily. Everyone is so worried about what everyone else is going to think of them. There's just also so much insecurity, so much weight on other people's opinions. But once you finally let that go, you're finally free. And everyone kind of sees the shine within you. And you know what? The people that don't like you, they just, you just put them to the wayside. It's not even worth it.
Well, I always remember the quote your mom told you that you put, like, people who mind don't matter and people who matter don't mind.
Yeah, I saw you look up. I do that too. Wow, my God, I can't believe you remember that.
I love that quote. I think of that all the time because I am somebody who, I mean, I've been an actor all my life. And so I think I grew up, well, I developed as a teenager when you're looking for your identity. I discovered it in auditions, looking at the people being like, well, what do you want me to be? And I think that's not a real healthy way to find a great sense of self. And so I'm always kind of looking for kind of stuff that lets you be your own person and helps you be that person. And that quote to me is everything.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Is there a type of role that you look for when you're looking for your next project? What do you like to do?
I really like, well, musicals. I really like musicals, but I'm not up.
Wait, sidebar. What's your favorite musical?
Can we guess?
Yeah.
Okay, let's guess.
I'm going to say her favorite musical is Hamilton.
Okay. I'm going to go a little bit deeper. I want her favorite musical to be Next to Normal.
Oh, I don't even know that one.
Oh my God, Next to Normal with Alice Ripley? It's like heavy. It's like heavy, artsy.
Emily, okay. If you pick Wicked.
I was going to say, don't choose Wicked.
No. Okay, so the truth is, like, your oldest best friend in the whole world that you don't talk to every day, but, like, you always love them. So it's Cabaret.
Oh, yes.
But then Hamilton is my, like, if I wanted to see that every single day and,
same,
like, sing every song, yeah.
I've not even
same.
Seen
it's
it.
So
it's just, it's everyone's favorite. I've not even seen it. I don't even know the story, nothing, but everyone dies over that, so.
We just talked bad about Wicked.
I don't talk bad about Wicked.
It's just basic choice. It's a basic choice.
It is a basic choice, but. But you know what? You would be a really good Elphaba, because I think you can do angry.
Yes.
I always, if someone's Elphaba, they have to do angry well. Like, it can't be cute or, like, you know, pretty. Like, it has to be real and angry.
Wait, and green, right?
Mm-hmm. And green, yes.
You would look cute green, Emily, because your eyes and your hair. I just see
it. Oh, it's the eyes. It's the eyes.
Yeah.
It's very expressive. She can do
angry well.
Because I can see that your eyes are big and it's, like, expressive. So I'm like, those eyes would look good angry.
That's good. I've done so much expensive therapy to be able to, like, get angry. Because Canadians don't get angry.
We don't get angry. We get
angry. Sorry.
We're just so sorry.
Can we talk about your New Year's Eve experience a little bit? Where was this? When was it? What happened?
The pandemic, I think, fucks up your brain with time, because I actually just thought, oh, we were in Lake Tahoe, but that wasn't last New Year's, right?
Literally, I can relate with this so much. Let me set the scene for everyone.
Okay.
Spontaneous trip, rented a house, Lake Tahoe. We wanted cold. We wanted snow. We thought there's a hot tub there. It's going to be nice and snowy. We can just, you know, spend New Year's like the Canadian way.
Question, is Lake Tahoe in California or Italy?
Oh my God, California.
Wait, what is the lake in Italy that I'm
thinking
of?
Lake Como?
Yeah. Okay. That's it. Yeah. Never mind. Sorry. Keep going.
No, we were in California. We all drove up together. Emily came with.
And he was doing his audition. He's shooting his audition for Drag Race.
Yeah. He did like Lindsay Lohan Rumors. And yes. I filmed him in the hot tub in full drag at the Lake Tahoe house.
Yeah.
Wow, Emily. That's iconic. You remember that. Yeah. Shout out Gottmik.
And that's not. Oh, I always forget. Everybody's like, it's Gottmik. I still say Kate.
I know. I always say Kate.
I know.
Too,
we all do.
After Everybody, saying it so many times, I got used to the Gottmik and I'm into it.
So, but that wasn't last New Year's. So that was the one before. So last New Year's, I was trapped in Toronto because I went to Halifax to shoot Chapel Waite. And then I was going home and I got this job, this kind of brand thing that I was shooting in Toronto. And then I was up for this job in Scotland and we didn't know if it was going to happen. And if it happened though, I couldn't because of COVID, I couldn't travel to the US before. So it was a whole thing. And so I spent Christmas in Toronto with my best friend, Neela. And it was so great because it was, you know, like an unplanned kind of Christmas. I'm not really a family person. I'm much more of a like chosen family person. That's what I love so much about your house and everybody. It's like this special chosen family. And so I did that. We watched we watched movies and had cereal and just we made it like a kid's Christmas. So
right. Sometimes the best plans are no plans at all. And I will say the House Gorgeous family was extremely happy to have you, but we could have been blood sisters.
Is it too late?
Who knows? Anything Emily's is like, possible. Anything is possible. Wow. Okay. That was really fun going down memory lane, but I want to get to something. So on Queerified, we are really big about coming out stories and you playing so many different roles, living so many different lives on camera. What was your coming out story like for Emily Hampshire?
Yeah, it's interesting because I never imagined myself coming out, having to come out, anything, because I've always kind of been surrounded by LGBTQ plus people all my life. And I was, for all I thought, straight. And I dated guys. I married a man for 8 years. And then we were doing this episode of Schitt's Creek, this wine episode where David explains his pansexuality to Stevie through a wine metaphor. And I had never heard the word pansexuality before. I know everyone got that metaphor, but I was still confused with the three wines. I didn't understand it at that time. And then kind of cut to, I guess, 5 years later, I fell in love with someone and I noticed on like message boards, a lot of people were saying like, is Stevie a lesbian? Is Emily gay? Who's Emily? What? Like asking what I was. Right. And I asked Dan, I was like, this is so weird. What am I? Because I genuinely fall very much for a vibe. Like, and I'm either also, I just find someone attractive or I don't. And their gender genuinely doesn't matter to me. I would say I'm primarily more attracted physically to females, but like it's just more of an attitude, I think.
Yeah.
Right.
But anyway, so, and he was like, you're pan, don't you watch the show? And so then I did feel like I felt like I kind of had to identify myself and like label myself because people were asking. But the truth is, like, while I completely get visibility and I think it's important for people to be loud and proud about who they are and all of that. My utopian society would be something where we just didn't really have to. Like, I'm just, or I didn't have to say I'm, I don't know, like, any, I just, you like who you like and you're whatever gender you are. Like,
right.
So that is, so I kind of now feel like I feel like I don't want that to be just the headline of me, because it's not really true. It's, I just like who I like.
Yeah. Exactly. I think that's such a beautiful way to put it and such a beautiful experience, because I mean, I can relate to that a lot. And I feel like we share this a lot in common, Emily. We were both, and this is something extremely rare. Like, this is not something that happens every day. You were with somebody who transitioned during your relationship. And that's how I found out that I labeled as pansexual, because I was like, wow, you know Nats very well. I didn't fall in love with Nats because back then he was a girl. I fell in love with his soul. So then when he transitioned, I was like, damn, I really got to look inward and look at who I fell in love with. I fell in love with the soul of this person. And I wanted to get your perspective, because I think it's a very unique one. What was the biggest learning lesson or advice that you would give yourself back then from that relationship?
I don't know that it's easy to say in retrospect, but like, I think I was a little naive in that I didn't actually then know any trans people. And I think I just really, again, fell in love with this person. And I don't think I knew enough about what she was going through. I think I tried a little, I did wrong things sometimes. I did, like, I think if I went, like, well, it's even like with my friend Neela, who's trans, and all my, I mean, I have so many trans, non-binary friends now that
they're the best.
They are. And I do think there's something about getting a full perspective on gender. And, but yeah, I guess the advice I would give myself is to be less hard on myself back then, because I think it's fair for someone to not know everything and learn.
Very fair, very valid.
Yeah. And I think it's also like, it is a period of time where someone is discovering who they are, like a new kind of, and I mean, I don't want to speak for you, I haven't transitioned, but I imagine that there's so much change going on that it's difficult to stay in a relationship.
There's also a lot of change for you too. I mean, I think Gigi said this before, you know, when a person transitions, it's not just them who transitions, it's also the people around them. So I think it's really great to hear your perspective, an outside, someone who's close, but an outside perspective on somebody who's transitioning, because it can't be easy.
Well, to be fair, I did fall in love with, for me, my ex was female, and it was totally, it hadn't been very long that she'd transitioned, but I met her when she had just begun transitioning. So I didn't go I didn't go through falling in love with someone, you know, before they transitioned, which I know a lot of people who have, and it is. I think that's difficult.
Yeah, it is. What I meant by that, though, is that it never really is over, like, for a very long time. You know, I'm still going through my transition. I have days, I have moments, and so does Nats. And I feel like the way that you were there for this person, this girl, was so extremely amazing. And I think that that advice that you just said you would give yourself back then is, don't be so hard on yourself. I think that's amazing. Anybody, the listener out there that's listening to this, I think they need to hear that. And I'm so happy that you said that, because sometimes I have to remind myself that too.
Yeah. And I do think, like what you said, we're, in a sense, we're all transitioning all the time. And that's kind of like, not literally, but there is, I was worried about, you know, being labeled pansexual and stuff, because, you know, I mean, that covers everything, but I change my mind. I change all the time. And I mean, I don't think you thought you would be straight with Nats.
Right. <You know? laughs> I mean, to some people's, yeah, expression of the word straight, for sure. It's such a trip. Life just happens. I feel like that's why it's so important to just to look back and be like, well, what advice would I give myself back then? Do I need it now? You know, moving forward, it's just, life just happens. It's so fast. It's such a trip. And with the pandemic, like you said earlier, it's a time warp. It's like, we're already in, like, what? Yeah. It's almost been 2 years we've been in this thing.
It's so crazy. It really is a time, like a mind fuck. Yeah.
Totally.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Has your sexuality ever affected your career?
No. I mean, it's weird because, you know, I came out coinciding with a show that was very progressive and special for a lot of LGBTQ plus people. It was, I mean, the way Dan decided to create, he had a mandate when he created Schitt's Creek that there will be no homophobia in Schitt's Creek, and the town and the townspeople will never be the butt of the joke. And it was just such a place of like inclusion that as much as we get a lot of fans telling us how much that affected them and changed their lives, it wasn't lost on us. Like, I think all of us changed from that show. I think our hearts grew a little bigger, even though I always thought and feel like I've always been someone who just loves people and doesn't see those differences. But I think, you know, if you grow up in the world and you're raised in a society, those kind of things get in you. And I think, I'm not really answering your question though, but I guess the point is that being on that show, it kind of made it easy to just be who I was. It did also really just make me think a lot. I think having to think about what my sexuality was really took me back to thinking, oh, so in high school, like when I was saying you had to let me do this to you to practice for boys.
I'm dying.
Or I was like, it wasn't that I wanted to have those tits that the girl had. I wanted to sleep with her. Yeah. It was confusing.
I know what you mean. I've had those moments with Gigi where I was like, so that's why you would say those things, because you were into that back then. I was like, got it.
I'm gonna blush and die.
How long have you guys known each other?
Like almost 20 years.
Yeah, about 20 Ow. Years.
Yeah, longest
A
friend
really
ever.
Long time.
Mm-hmm. But back to you, Emily.
But we don't like each other anymore. So back to
you. You know what I want to know? So getting back on the topic of being pan. So I watched this movie with you, My Awkward Sexual Adventure. And I know that you have had sex scenes and moments with guys, right? So playing a queer or being a queer person, playing a straight character, how does that play off? Because being pan is really digging the person, falling in love with the person's soul. Were you in love with that person's soul that you were with? Or how was that? How was that process?
No, that's actually...
inside the actor's studio asking the tough questions now.
Definitely not. And also, if you're ever on set in a sex scene, because people ask these questions all the time, it is the most unsexy thing in the world. Like, I had a giant knee band-aid on my... 5 minutes and it was like, and he's wearing a sock and it's just like not hot. But what is funny is the first time someone slid into my DMs and asked me on a date, this girl asked me on a date, and I was like, and I wasn't out or anything then. It was like first season of Schitt's Creek, and I was like, what makes you think I'm a lesbian? And she's like, oh, I don't know. I'm like, was it the plaids? Was it the plaids? All the plaid shirts? And she's like, well, kind kinda, I guess. Anyways, that was, and then we went on a date and I'm like, yeah, I'm into you.
Gag.
Is there a difference between sex scenes with girls or boys?
I've never had a sex scene with a girl.
What?
Oh, you haven't?
No, but it's funny that I do get offered more queer-leaning roles. I've yet to...
Do you like that, or are you looking to like challenge yourself?
Challenge myself to kiss a hot girl?
You're like, that's not acting.
Yeah, no, I've never played... lesbian or queer or to answer your question, I don't look for that. I honestly just look for, I guess I like to read a script that where the character kind of gives me something. Like, well, this Chapelwaite, she was such a woman ahead of her time and so strong and confident and brave. And like, I wanted a bit of that for myself. Or my awkward sexual adventure, I remember wanting to do that movie because she was so confident sexually. And like, I never even said the word bra to my mother. Like, I
right.
My mother from
this. So acting is a therapy for you.
Yeah, a little. It's a little greed. It's a little like, I want more than this one perspective I've been given. And I also think that is what I find really attractive in a lot of my trans friends who transitioned later in life and experienced being socialized as male or female, and then transition and experience being on the receiving end of the other gender. Like, I find that perspective to be better than just one perspective.
Gigi, what have you found, like, are the differences living, you know, in your previous life and living now? Like, what are the big differences?
So it's different because I wasn't some football player, you know, before in my previous gender. Yeah. I was a diver that turned into a super, super flamboyant male presenting boy, but I was still really, really out there. So even when I would go to, like, you know, Shoppers Drug Mart, which is Canada's Rite Aid or Walgreens or whatever.
Drug Mart, I love all my points.
I know. Oh my God, I lost my cards. I can't. So I'm picturing like a Shoppers Drug Mart in particular, but whenever I would go there, if I wasn't the most dressed up, if I didn't have lashes on or I didn't have a handbag, which I usually did, it would always be, oh, you're so handsome. It would be, you know, girls kind of stopping at the door, you know, having me open it, you know, just like classic gender role things. And so when I started driving, it was like, I'm pumping my own gas. I'm going into pay. It was just basically like, I'm doing everything for myself, which is 100% fine. I enjoy doing that. When I transitioned, when my hair grew out, when I fully started feeling myself in my trans fantasy, I fully started feeling like, this is Gigi. Doors flying open, gas being paid for, people asking for my number. I would like go to the mall and I would have to literally beat people off. Like, I'd be like, okay, I'm here for two things. I gotta go. But it would be stopping to talk and me being just polite, like engaging. Whereas before, I'd be like, I never had to do this shit.
I love that.
So like, some of the social aspects are very different, but at the end of the day, it kind of sucked that people thought less of me because I was a girl. Like, oh, she's not going to get it. She won't understand it. Like, I'm saying, like, in like a stranger environment, like, say, like a party, like I would go to my older brother's school and it would be like, oh, yeah, she won't get it. She won't understand. You know, let's leave out the girls and just have a guy moment. I'm like, but like, I want to hang out. I can watch TV with you guys. Like, little things like that, I think you just see from the other side. And not to say I would change it for anything in the world or trade it, but it just is like, yeah, you see people's like gender constructs in their head, and it's so deeply instilled in these people that it's not going away anytime soon. So, Emily, coming out of the pandemic, what is next for you? What can we look out for? What are you excited about?
The next thing, well, the thing that I'm working on right now is Mary Hartman.
Mary Hartman, Mary Hartman. Oh my God, I'm so excited about that.
Yeah, and it's so exciting to be on this other side of it in the writing and the getting everything from the beginning. That's what I really was inspired by Dan creating this show from his imagination. He had an idea, and he knew how he wanted the sets to look, and he knew how he wanted the wardrobe. And I love that stuff, like creating a world. I love kind of my favorite thing is updating the characters. So yeah, that's what's next to me. I also, next for me, I also did this show in Scotland that will be coming out. It's called The Rig. It's a new Amazon series. So that'll be coming out. I just want to keep working. I like working.
Would you ever do Broadway?
Oh, I would love to.
Mary Hartman goes there, obviously.
I would do it as Mary. What was so great to do a musical thing in Schitt's Creek was doing it as Stevie, to be kind of forgiven for the fact that I know I'm not a Broadway quality singer, definitely not a Broadway quality dancer, but I just love it. I'll commit.
I will exactly. say that singing scene in Schitt's Creek with you as Stevie for what's her name, Moira, so cute. And I think Tiffany, bringing it back to Tiffany, and I watched it like, I'm going to say 50 times over and over.
Oh,
it was so powerful and beautiful. And your little connection you got to her little stone cold heart is so cute. Not, oh my God, not Tiffany, Moira.
Tiffany does not have a stone cold.
Not at all. No, she's like an open book. No, I was talking about Moira. Oh my God, Tiffany, I love you if you're listening.
Anyways, Emily, will you stay with us and answer some queries from our listeners?
Yes.
Amazing. We'll be right back with Emily.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Welcome back. We are still here with Miss Emily Hampshire, and we are going to get to your queries. Don't forget, you can call us at 1-844-QUERIES, which is Q-U-E-E-R-Y-S, and ask us absolutely anything. Nothing is off limits, and we have three great questions today. So are we ready to dive in?
Ready. Here we go.
Hi, Gigi. Hi, Mimi. My name is Maeve. I'm from the Washington, D.C. area. And first of all, I just wanted to say that I'm obsessed with this podcast. I found it not that long ago, and I literally listen to it the minute you release an episode, and I sing along to the intro. I love it. It makes my day. And I just wanted to say to you specifically, Gigi, I have been watching your YouTube videos since I was 10 years old. I would literally come home from school, get my little after school snack, and turn on your videos, and I just love you. I've loved you for years. Literally, if I can meet one person, it'd be you. I love you so much. Just, you've always inspired me, and just everything about you, your confidence, your energy, always inspired me. And Mimi, I'm so glad to start to get to know you on this podcast. I am so happy to be getting to know you and your personality. So my question for you both is actually about your friendship. I wanted to know, what is your favorite memory together as friends? I know you said that you knew each other growing up, so I just wanted to know what your favorite memory together was. Love you both so much. Bye.
Maeve, that was such a cute question. First of all, I love Washington, D.C. It's one of my favorite cities. And your question, what is our favorite memory together? So let's do me and Gigi's favorite memory and then Emily and Gigi's favorite memory together. Gigi, do you want to go first? What's your favorite memory with me?
Sure. Okay. So I don't know if we've talked about this before. I feel like I've mentioned it in a YouTube video, though, if we haven't on the podcast. So Mark and I kind of had this competitive streak within us back in the day. So he came out to our whole high school, and then I came out days later. I was like, oh my God, there can't just be one of us. So in a sense, it helped me be who I was. But there was this one instance. So we were both talking about, owning a pair of heels. And we just thought it was the next step for us. We're like, well, we need a pair of heels. We watch Victoria's Secret runways every day. We just need to further our fashion wardrobe. So he had this boyfriend at the time, and he's like, I have a date tonight. And I was like, oh, okay, amazing. He comes to school the next day, and he's like, oh my God, my boyfriend got me these shoes. And they were gorgeous high heels. And I was like so happy for him, quote unquote. But I went to the mall that night and got the same pair of shoes, the exact same pair, in like a half size up, which is even more shady. And that was just, that's one of my favorite memories. I feel like it was like this constant, like fun little
that's
friendship
so funny.
Thing. Do you remember it the same mark or no?
Yes, because that boyfriend at the time would say things like, "You guys are always playing Keeping Up with the Joneses." And I'm like, "What do you mean? It's just like fun."
But we were. He wanted you to get ahead with the heels, huh?
No, he was like, "What is this game you guys are playing? Like, stop." And I'm like, "No, it's fine. Like, I need a newest iPhone now because Gigi got the newest iPhone. Like, no more BlackBerry."
Classic.
Can't do that anymore. I'm like, "Oh, Gigi drives now. So I need to drive." Things like that. But my favorite memory, I was just thinking about this, is probably your dad's wine cellar. Growing up, your dad had a huge wine cellar that I'm going to say was stocked with at least 200 bottles of wine at all times.
Yeah.
And it was always the very best. And every single time we wanted to have a drink, we would walk into that wine cellar and just pick any wine. Yeah. Like the most expensive, like a red this time, a white this time. Just literally anytime we needed wine, we would grab the best one.
And I'd be like, we would always be like, "We'll replace it." Him, "No, you won't." You don't even know where I got that. Oh God, no. Classic high school memories. Am I right?
High school memories, drinking Santa Margarita. What are your favorite memories with each other?
Emily, okay, so this actually goes back to New Year's Eve. So Emily has this journal and she does these Instagram stories with it. It's a boy, right? Stums?
Oh, Stums is, that's not a journal. Stums is my son.
He's right, right. Sorry.
Stums is an abominable snowman, a Yeti.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yes.
But I do have my diary, my Dear Diary and Dear Smaller Diary. Those are diaries that I write in. So those are two different things.
Okay. So on the Stubbs point of it, so I used to always call Stubbs Stubbies. Yes. Right? Remember that, Emily?
Yes.
I would always call it Stubbies. And I was like, "Where is Stubbies?" And she brought Stubbies, her son, to Lake Tahoe for New Year's Eve. And we were setting up this dinner and she was like, "Well, Stubbies needs a seat." And we literally got this high chair that was in this person's rented home, their Airbnb. And we set up like a little like New Year's Eve dinner for him. I just thought that was so cute. And it was like, what the hell are we doing? Like, we have a Yeti at the table.
Were, like, real parents. You were like taking care of him. And I trusted you guys with him. The only person who trusted with him was Hillary because she seemed really maternal.
Very gentle. Yeah, yes. Totally is.
Yes.
Yeah, I just thought that was so cute.
Yeah. Oh God, I loved that. I have some great pictures from then. That whole New Year's was such a favorite memory of mine because I remember you and Nats dancing and you were in your fur and that was just so lovely. I guess, well, the first one that came to mind for me was when we were at, I can't remember what bar it was, because that was another thing in this group of people. You guys went like clubbing and bars, and I've never been to a club. And so it, yeah, but I was with Tiffany, and it's kind of like a mushy memory in my head, but it was a good feeling one because it was like me and Tiff hadn't said that we were like girlfriends yet. Uh-huh. And I think I slipped or something, like said like,
"I love you."
Yeah, that was not, yeah.
Oh my God, you said I love you to Tiffany?
Oh my God, we have a nod
like,
from
you
Emily.
You said it. And it was this whole thing. Anyways, it was very sweet / anxiety / but you were really pushing it forward because I said it and you heard it and oh.
Oh my God, I love it. That's sweet.
That's so funny. Okay, thank you for sharing that. I'm gonna text Tiffany right after this.
Oh my God, I feel like we all are.
Our second query, here we go.
Hello, my name is Christina and I'm calling for my boyfriend.
He definitely listens to the show on a regular, and he's going through some stuff that's a little bit hard. We've been dating for about a year, and I've encouraged him to come out and be his true self. And we've had mutual friends for about maybe 20 years. And as he's open to his real self and to life, those friends seem to be hesitant. So my question is, how can I be supportive for him? And what can I tell him that's supportive for him to keep going? I mean, these friends have to come to terms in their heart with how they feel. And I mean, this process is just really hard, and I want to know how to be more supportive. He absolutely leans on the show and loves to watch it. I do want to say thank you so much for all of you who pioneer the way for anyone that is trans in this world. And just wonderful. Thank you for putting out podcasts. And I really want to know how I can be more supportive to my boyfriend and how I can be more supportive to the community around me and also my child in a new generation that's also trans. Thank you so much, you guys, and keep doing awesome stuff. It's really supportive for everybody in our community. Lots of love.
Hi, Christina. Thank you for that question. What do you think about that, Gigi?
Oh, I think it's beautiful. She sounds like a rainbow angel trans mother.
She sounds galvanized.
We need her. And I'm so excited for her child. I think this is such a great thing for the child. And I will say about the boyfriend. So I think if you are in a situation where you have somebody that you know wants to change or be their authentic self around you, I would say don't push them too much. But if they do share something with you, hold them accountable. Maybe don't push them or bully them or, you know, make them uncomfortable in that way, but remind them, like, you shared this with me. You let me in on this. This is both of our journeys now. I am here for you. You are enough. There's no rush, but you can always take a little step today. You know, really like try to put that out there. And I think it will make them feel really comfortable with you. And that's what I try to do. I mean, I know tons of trans people in my life right now that I'm like, well, you said you wanted to do this, so we could do it, but only if you're okay. I got your back. But if not tomorrow or next week, like set little milestones. I think that's really important, but without being too much, because then you could turn them off.
I totally agree with everything Gigi said. She sounds like the person who takes the lead a lot. She sounds ready to go, but I would say let your partner take the lead. Follow where they want to go. Sometimes, you know, queer people are not ready to take a few steps. Sometimes they're not ready to come out. Sometimes they don't have that strength and confidence yet. And that's okay. So you just have to wait and follow their lead. It's really hard. It's hard. And you just have to be there for them when it gets hard. What do you think, Emily?
I mean, I can't say it better than either of you, especially not Gigi. But I do think she just sounds like just that she called here to see how she can better support her boyfriend. Like, that says it all. Like, you're trying. I do think with a lot of stuff that's change for people in a relationship or in a friendship, family, all of that, I think there has to be room for learning. And I think that first step is like your willingness to try. And you may fuck up a pronoun. You may like do that, but like you want to try and be better and be supportive. And so I just think that in itself is everything.
Love that. It is. Yeah.
Thank you for calling in, Christina. That was a great question.
Yeah. Thanks for listening. Oh my God.
Okay. Our third and last query for the day.
I have a question. My question is, I am from the USA, in the city in Texas, USA. And my name is Adriana. And what is it like to be famous? And how do you feel if people get you hate comments and other stuff that you don't really like? And I love you guys so much. Bye.
Adriana, you're so cute.
Did not think that was the question.
Emily, do you want to answer this one first? What is it like being famous and how do you deal with haters?
Me? Are you asking
yes.
me? You know, I'm lucky. I haven't really dealt with haters. And I think that's because people really, the part I played was people love Stevie. I love Stevie. But what is very strange is that we went into this pandemic, this quarantine, we were all wearing masks and shits really became popular during that time. And so me and Annie were talking about this, that I was in Scotland when I first stopped wearing a mask and went outside. And it was like a very different experience. I mean, I recognized sometimes before, but this was, it's now like that kind of thing where, I mean, it's always nice because I think people like the show, but it's very new and sudden and all at once for us because we were all in quarantine and then we came out and suddenly everybody knew the show.
Bam. So. Yeah. You are very recognizable. I mean, yeah. Stevie, I would be like pointing to, especially if you had any, if you had any kind of plaid on, I'd be like, that is Stevie.
Most people recognize me from my voice, which I find weird. That happened to us in Italy. Someone was like, see, and it was me and Dan and a bunch of people, and they didn't recognize anybody until they heard my voice. And this guy came over and he was like, that's how I knew. And Dan was like, yeah, she's loud.
Oh my God, you do have a very distinct voice, actually.
I never thought about it.
Well, that's the end of the podcast. Thank you for staying with us and answering our queries.
Oh my God, she has my setting powder with her, my limited Ipsy collection that might or might not be coming back. You still have that?
Oh, is that bad?
No, it's amazing.
Yeah, I really like it. Oh,
love that. Oh my God, so I'm always with you. Thank you, Emily, for coming on and really being open and honest. I feel like this is going to be such a great listen. And everyone, Mary Hartman. Hello, Mary Hartman, Mary Hartman. I hope you're as excited as us. Yes.
Thank you so much. And nice meeting you, Mimi. And someday we'll see each other in real life.
Hopefully it's sometime soon.
Where can people find you?
In my closet. and they can find me on Instagram. I mean, I'm on the other things, but I don't really go there. I'm on Instagram. I'm Emily Hampshire. I'm at Emily Hampshire. I don't know.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Bye. Thank you so much to our guest, Emily Hampshire, and thank you so much for listening. You can follow me at Gigi Gorgeous and Mark at Mark Maverick. As always, Queerified is a presentation of Ramble, a Cadence 13 studio. Please listen, rate, they help us so much, review and follow all episodes. Available now for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, and wherever you get your podcasts. See you in the next one.